Hey ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. I am the pastor at Alturas Baptist Church. I would like to welcome you to the Lord's message this morning on KCFJ AM 570. I would like to ask what you believe when it comes to faith. What is faith? Does faith exist? And if so, how can you achieve it? How does society view faith? There are so many questions that come up about faith in today's world. How can you find the true and real answer? I will provide those answers and many more scriptural insights in just a few minutes. After you hear this message, come to Alturas Baptist Church at 11 o'clock this morning to hear the next message that the Lord wants me to share with you. I look forward to meeting you when you arrive at 11 o'clock. But for now, let's come together in unity and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while also learning a very important life lesson from God that will guide you through this life.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God.
Lord, we do just thank you for this time we have to come into your house, Lord, to just be with you, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to receive all that you have for us today in worship and in the message. We just thank you and we pray you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please stand and let's worship our Lord and Savior.
Psalm 62:5. My soul, wait silently for God alone. For my expectation comes from him.
Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love to drop from so I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Broken I run to you for your arms open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. So I wait for you.
6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up.
Joshua 1:9. Have I not told you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Thank you.
You can be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our service today, whether you're here in person or online or listening to the radio. Thank you for joining us today. We have been covering a lot of ground in the book of Acts, and we're only 19 chapters in. We've been following Paul in his journeys. So far, we are roughly about 2 years into his ministry, and at this point, we are almost at the three-year mark in this ministry. And this is the moment, okay, 3 years since he left Barnabas. There's a whole lot more time period in there of him in the ministry with Barnabas. But this is almost 3 years after he left Barnabas in this ministry. Last week, we looked at how miracles look like in today's society. And it was proven that miracles really do exist in today's world. Where do we go from there, though? What is it that is necessary for miracles to actually occur? Well, today's message is called Real Faith. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 13 to 22. What does real faith actually look like in today's society? Now, I know that there is a lot of people who believe that faith is one thing, while the reality is that real faith is completely different from what people think it is. Today, we are going to travel back to a different time and a different place, a place that was located in ancient Greece, but is actually located today in modern Izmir province, Turkey, a city called Ephesus. Ephesus was a large port city that connected Rome to the empire to the east. It was the second largest city of the known world at that period. It had more than 250,000 people. It was the home of the Temple of Artemis. Now, if you've never heard of the Temple of Artemis, that temple is the fourth of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was built in 550 BC by the Greeks. The Greek goddess Artemis, also known as Diana in the Roman culture, was the goddess of fertility. And there was a large market for tiny little statues of Artemis sold to travelers as blessings for their homes or their crops. Anything that was in need of growth or of birth. Ephesus was known for its dark arts. People would go to Ephesus to buy blessings, and they would also go to Ephesus to buy curses. People would go to a sorcerer, and there were a lot of them, hundreds, if not thousands of them. And they would buy a curse or a blessing, and either of those would be written on a piece of parchment. And if it was a curse, then they would bury that parchment in their enemy's field or underneath their houses. Centuries later, William Shakespeare wrote in Act 1, Scene 2, in The Comedy of Errors, that Ephesus is full of the dark working sorcerers that changed the mind of men. Last week, we read Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 12. And verse 8 says, "And he," meaning Paul, "went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years. So that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Now, Tyrannus was probably not a man's given name, because the key definition of Tyrannus means tyrant. It is a cruel and oppressive ruler. I'm sure that this man earned this name over the years, because he was shrewd. He was forceful in business transactions. And yet this man let Paul use his lecture hall during the afternoon break period, during what we would call lunch break. Verse 11, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. There were some powerful things happening in Tyrannus' lecture hall at that moment, on that day. Word was getting around. People from all over Asia were coming to hear Paul speak. Now, with that backdrop of reminding us of where we left off last week, please stand for the reading of God's word for today. Acts chapter 19, verses 13 to 22. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Our enemy on this earth cannot create. Only God can. Our enemy can only counterfeit what God can do. But it's not the same thing. Satan cannot create. He just takes what God is doing and he distorts it. He twists it. He turns love into lust. He turns confidence into arrogance, ingenuity into greed, and strength into oppression. In the lecture hall of Tyrannus at this moment, something genuine is happening, though, and Satan wants to distort it. Verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, I'm sure that word of this spectacle was getting around pretty quickly. It was probably all over what they would consider their social media within moments. Verse 17, this became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Verse 19. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. You may be seated. 50,000 pieces of silver of amount of books. That is a huge amount of literature that was burned. Now, I'm going to pause at this point right here for a few minutes, and I'm going to share with you a quote that President Franklin Roosevelt famously stated on March 4th, 1933, during his first inauguration speech. He said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Is that true? Because there is something that actually needs to be feared besides fear itself. If you're not sure what that is, read your Bible. It tells you. One thing I will tell you, Satan is involved in it. That is something to be fearful. But also, in our culture today, there is something to actually be afraid of. It is the true nature of the omnipotence, the all-powerful of our Lord, of our God. The people were terrified, not at the demonic attack that was happening right before their eyes, not because of the seven sons of Sceva, but at the power of the name of Jesus. They were feared. Verse 17 of our text today says, it became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now, in the NIV, it says that they were seized in fear. They were so scared that they couldn't move. This is why we have the phrase petrified, to describe that type of fear. Like petrified wood, they were solid stone of fear. They couldn't move. They couldn't breathe. They couldn't react. I'm going to tell you, I have felt that kind of fear once in my life. It's horrible to experience. And I'm sure you have had that type of fear somewhere. Let's look at Mark chapter 4 real quick. Jesus is asleep in the boat. There's a big storm. Disciples woke him up saying, "Don't you care that we're about to die?" Jesus gets up, and what does he do? He tells the wind and he tells the waves, what? Stop. Mark 4, 41. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I think we have gotten so confused with our familiarity to God and with God that we have forgotten a fear of God. Now, typically, when I'm talking about the fear of God, what am I talking about? Literally, reverence. But this is the kind of fear that we should be holding of God, kind of like when we look in a rearview mirror and there's a police car behind us, that heart-stopping moment. We should have that kind of fear of God also. Most of the time when Scripture talks about having a fear of God, reverence is being referred. In this case, the disciples were scared. Why? Why were they so fearful of God in that manner? In my opinion, they were scared because they have never seen any human being be able to just stop a storm with a word, let alone just stopping that storm to begin with. I don't know about y'all, but if Billy Bob down the street was, and it's raining right now, on this street corner, and he looks up and goes, "Knock it off," and it stopped, I think I'm going to be scared of that guy. I think I'm going to stay away. This is what they're looking at, though. Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Verse 21 of our text, "When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, 'After I have been there, I must also see Rome.' So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time." There are three stages of faith. Two of them are what most people generally think of when they think of faith, but in large, especially newborn Christians. They have this tendency to believe in this falsehood of what faith is. The general public believes that stage one is what we believe in a magic genie that is God. They believe that God is just someone that's going to serve me. That is obvious on how people think, if you really watch what they do, especially newborn Christians. They don't have an understanding of God. This was also the Roman and Greek God in this story. They had little g gods to manipulate. They bought their statues of Artemis. They planted it in their homes. And then, voila, they're blessed. Or they buy their curses, and voila, their enemies are suffering. We have that today. It's kind of like a Coke machine. You know, I put my prayers in, and I push the button, and what pops out? A blessing. But that's not how it really works. But that's how people think of it. Here is how it actually works. We say, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He came to earth, and he died on the cross. And because of that, my life is blessed, because I'm given an opportunity to have eternal life in heaven. Here's my prayers. Amen. Thank you." But on the other side, for the newborn Christians, for the non-Christians, how many times will a non-Christian get on social media, something bad happened in their life, and they all of a sudden want prayers? Because to them, this is how it goes. "I need your prayers. God, do this for me now. Bless my life. Fix my problem. Cure my disease. But it's all for me. Make it happen." And then those people get frustrated because God is not blessing their life based on what they want, based on what their view of blessing is. We cannot treat God that way. But that is exactly what a lot of people who call themselves Christians, they believe in doing that, and they do it. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, Israel found that out. They got absolutely destroyed by the Philistines. They went and got the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought it into that battle because they knew that God was going to win that battle for them. They got defeated beyond belief because their arrogance took over, not their faith in God. God is like, hey, you can't treat me this way. I'm not your good luck charm. You can't just pull me down off the shelf when you need something and then expect me to bless you for it. And then we have stage two. This is also the view of most people and adolescent Christians. We listen to a cosmic consultant God. This is the type of God that works for me. Look again at verse 18 of our text. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. They were not all in. They are not sold out like Jesus expects us to be. People who think that way are not all in for God. They're using God for their own means. In the church today, generally speaking, in the church today, we have those that read the Bible and they pick and choose what they want to follow, what they want to believe in, instead of reading the entire Bible and following the entire scripture as part of their new life. Because ideologically, there's things in the Bible that they don't agree with. Ideologically, they have family members who are in this community, but Bible says we're not supposed to conduct our life in that community, or this community over here, or I like to be angry, whatever it is. You can't cherry pick the Bible. You can't throw out what you don't like. We have to have that new life and follow every word of the scripture. It's God's word. It's God who wrote this. How many people today believe something to the effect of this? I'm going to sleep with whoever I want to when I want to do it. What about I will raise my children the way I think is best? Or I will lie when I have to and do what pleases me in the process. What is wrong with all three of those statements? And I'm sure we all know people who have said something to this effect. The focus is on the I. Our focus in life is not supposed to be on the I. It's supposed to be on the him. When a Christian is living through this life, how are they supposed to focus on life if they're focused on themselves? This Bible that we have, that we study, that we read, is the only focus that anyone will ever need. It is going to teach us everything that we will ever need to know in order to be successful in the correct way of life. But it never ceases to amaze me that so many people are going to look at the entirety of the Bible and not want to learn what it says. I have actually heard a few people tell me something around this line. I go to the Bible to get advice, but it was written 2,000 years ago, so it doesn't know what life is like today. Really? Look at society 2,000 years ago. Look at our society today. It's the same. There's no change. The only change is technology. That's it. Other than that, society is the same. The Bible is going to help you through this life. Remember, church, life in the first century wasn't any different. All too often, we pick and choose the verses that we like, and we put them in, well, we put them on coffee cups. And I'm guilty of buying those coffee cups, guys. I love those coffee cups. I got a whole bunch of them. And I've used up a whole bunch of them. We also buy certain Bible verses on bumper stickers, or we'll place them on our walls. We ignore the ones that we don't like, especially the ones that keep us accountable. Now, I'm going to say,
If I ever get into a financial position where I can buy a specialized printer to make window decals, okay, the kind that you put on the back of your car, but if I can ever do that and be able to make decal stickers for windows, I'm going to choose verses that keep people accountable, and then maybe people will see it. Maybe the people will read it. Maybe the people will allow the Holy Spirit to come in and make the changes within themselves that are necessary for their life. I have never seen Matthew 7:21 on a mug or on a window sticker, but it would make an awesome statement if that was ever there. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." That would be amazing to share on the back of your car, on a coffee cup. The verses that I see most often is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That seems to be the one that everybody buys. Does that keep you accountable? No. It does give you hope, and that's what we have in Jesus. That's the only hope that we have in this life. And then we have the third stage of faith. This is the stage that elder Christians are at. This is the point where we let go of ourselves and we come to a full truth about our existence. We kneel before our Lord. This is the God that I serve, because he is the Lord. He is the boss of my life. This is the God I don't expect anything from, but when I get it, it's a real blessing. Acts chapter 19, verse 17. "This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." We must get to that point. We need to have that God as our God. The God that I follow him no matter what. No matter what happens in my life, I'm following God. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That is where we need to be. In conclusion, as we go through our lives, we have to focus away from ourselves, and we need to focus solely on God. We have to repent from ourselves. We have to turn away from ourselves for good. We have to be all in. We have to be completely sold out to following the only real living Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to truly receive the Holy Spirit into our lives in order to receive real faith. Because real faith is only in God and can only be with God for our lives. As you leave this building, I want you to truly do one thing. I want you to answer these two questions to yourself. Remember, God is always present. God is always looking at us, each of us, throughout our life. So I'm asking you to be true and honest with yourself with these two questions. Because these two questions is going to change everything about your life. Question number one: what have I done with the name of Jesus? To say that I am a Christian and then not live it slanders the name of Jesus. I am not asking for you to reflect on the work you have done here on earth. I want you to reflect on whether that work was done in your name or if it was done in the name of Christ. If you did it in your name, You did it for you to feel better about yourself. You did it so that you were puffed up in society. You were made bigger than you actually are in your mind. You propped yourself up on a pedestal in someone else's mind. Or did you truly do those things for the kingdom, for a person's eternal life in heaven? Did you do it for the Savior who died for you? Question number one. What have you done with the name of Jesus in this world? Question number two. Do I trust God with just my eternity or with my daily living? Are you a Christian today because someone shared the gospel and scared you into it? Or did you truly come to your senses on your own and truly accepted Christ as your boss, as your Lord in this life? I'm going to just say we have all come to that aha moment in our life, that moment where we realize that none of us can achieve peace in this world. We can't achieve eternal life in heaven either. We can only achieve misery in this world. And all we can receive is eternal death in hell. That's it. That's all we're capable of doing. That is what we have earned with our life. What are you doing to change that? Have you really had your aha moment in your life and have truly accepted Jesus into your life? Not because of the fact that you were scared into it, but because God has touched your heart in such a profound way that you can't turn away from Him. You can't put Him on the back burner. You can't put Him behind yourself. If you are here today and you are in need of that aha moment, that moment that you finally come to your senses about Jesus, then come forward. Truly accept Christ today. Truly begin an actual new life with a true and real faith in the true and real Savior who gave His earthly life so that you can have a heavenly life. Come forward and accept Jesus today. If you're here today and you have accepted Jesus, but you haven't been all in, and you're ready to be baptized in the Spirit, to go all in, to be completely sold out, because the Creator of all things is calling you, then come forward. Talk to me. Talk to one of our deacons. Let's make this happen. No matter what your situation is, God is here for you. All you have to do is just give up yourself. Come to His cross. Give yourself to God the Father, to God the Son, to God the Holy Spirit, and do it today. I love you. But most importantly, God loves you. Have a blessed week.
1 Peter 4:10. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms.
We thank you and we praise you for your comforting words with us, Father. Help us to apply those to our lives, Lord. And help us to humbly search you out every day of our lives, Father. Be with us through this upcoming week and bless us and keep us safe, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings and being with us and guiding and directing us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church, located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California, at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There you will find who we are, past sermons, giving to the ministry, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the next message, right here on KCFJ 570 on the AM dial. If you want to check out video messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.